Grace to you and peace from our loving God and Father and our Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for our sins and rose again. Amen. Well, today I'd like to start out with you by the scripture. 1 John chapter 4, the Apostle John. Let's listen up to his words in verse 13 and following. He says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us of his own spirit. And we've seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us." Think about that. So we know and believe the love God has for us. Let me ask you a question here at the start. Do you know and believe the love that God has for you in Jesus Christ? Say amen. You know, I think a lot of times as Christians, we'll certainly answer that question right on a test if we got it. But a matter of taking that deep into our heart, into our soul, and really believing that God truly loves us, so that we can say, "I know and I believe that God truly loves me in Christ." That's a very special thing. It's something we can grow in as Christians all the time. So today I'd like to talk with you about love. The power of love, the transforming power of love, and especially God's love for us, but also our love for him and our love for one another. Let's see what God would teach us today about love. What does Jesus say to us about that? Well, first of all, if we're going to talk about love today, we ought to define it and know what it is, because we live in a world that throws the word love around all the time, doesn't it? I love pizza. I love pizza. I love ice cream. I love a car. I love travel. I love things. So we can love things and we say that kind of stuff, but that's not the love God's talking about. He can also say, you know, "I'm in love with that girl," or a girl can say, "I'm in love with that guy. I'm head over heels in love." And that's a romantic love. That's a different kind of love, but that's not what I'm talking about today. Also, you could look at, love for your family members. We certainly love those who love us and to whom we belong. But it's even more than that. Sometimes the word love is even thrown around, such as in recent years with the challenge to traditional marriage and having a man marrying a man and a woman marrying a woman. Their title for that was love wins, right? But the question is really love winning there? So there are many ways that the world talks about love. And it defines it in a number of ways. But let's talk about how God defines it. How does God define love? Well, to see that, let's take a look at a passage you all know very well. In fact, how do you find a passage you don't know well? But in Luke chapter 10, a lawyer comes up to talk with Jesus and ask him a question there in verse 25. He says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "What's written in the law?" He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself." You've answered right, Jesus says. "Do this and you'll live." But the lawyer, he wanted to justify himself, so he says, "Well, who's my neighbor?" So Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. You know it really well, but it warrants a second look to learn what love really is. Let's just review it here briefly. Jesus says, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, but he fell amongst robbers who beat him, stripped him, left him half dead on the side of the road. And by chance, a priest was going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And then a Levite came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side too. But then a Samaritan came, and as he passed by and journeyed, when he came to where the man was, when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 200 denarii, which is 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of this man. And whatever more you spend, I'll repay it when I come back.' Which of these three," Jesus says, "do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And the lawyer said, "The one who showed mercy on him." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So what do you learn there about God's love, what Jesus delights in and what God honors? It is this. It's three things, actually. Number one, it's kind. It is a true care for your fellow human being, desiring their best good and their greatest welfare. And that's how you can love even your enemies, right? You might not want to write a Hallmark card to them or go on a date, but you can still desire their best good and their greatest welfare. This is what it is to love the priest and the Levite. I don't care. I'll leave him there. I got to go preach a sermon on love or something like that. But they were not going to care in their heart. But the Samaritan, you see, it's love is something that takes place here in our soul, in our heart, and in the depths of our person that actually cares for your neighbor, the person next to you, whoever that person is, desiring their greatest good, their highest and best welfare. This is the love that God loves and Jesus honors. Secondly, it's not only a kindness, but also it's sacrifice. It's a love that costs something. What would it mean to me or to you if someone gave you a gift that didn't cost anything? Would that really be love? Love costs something, and the priest and Levite weren't willing to give any cost. This guy, if I went over here, would take me out of what I want to do. I'm not willing to pay for him. I'm not willing to spend the time on him. I'm going to go this way. They did not care. But love shows itself in the Samaritan, that he was willing to sacrifice, namely, to get messy, to get deep. He went over there and was willing to put his hands on the blood of a stranger and to bound up his wounds, to wrap them up and to pour on oil and wine, to take time out of his journey to say, this agenda stands by me as number one, to put him on his own beast, take him to an inn, spend money out of his own pocket, come back and take care of the guy again. So it's not only kind, but it's a sacrifice, a sacrificial love that cost you something. This is the love that God honors and Jesus delights in. And thirdly, it's a love that acts. The priest and the Levite walk by. They might talk a good talk on love or go preach a sermon on love, but they didn't act on it. All talk and no action. But the Samaritan acted on his love in real time, in a real way, in the real world, with real money, with real movement of his feet and his body, with real movement of his hands, with real action to help a real guy in a real world, to serve a real God. And what did this give God? Real delight. Do you know that it makes God's heart sing when we love like this other people? And it makes everybody else's heart sing, too. Think about the transforming power of love. You have the Samaritan. Do you think he went to bed with a clear conscience that night? He was happy. I helped out my neighbor. God has put it into your soul. Think about this. An ingredient, how he's designed you, that when you love another person, your soul takes wings and flies on the heights of the earth. The transforming power of love. Then the innkeeper, he sees this guy coming along and how this man helped this other man. I'm sure his heart was singing and flying on the heights of the earth. Then you have the man who was wounded. And when he came to his senses and came back to his consciousness, wow, nobody's ever loved me like this man loved me. And the transforming power of love in his life. He might have even become a friend of a Samaritan who were looked down on in that Jewish society of the day. Love transforms. And I want to ask you a question. Have you been transformed by the power of love like this? Has someone loved you like this in your life? Has God loved you like this? We're talking today about, do you know and believe the love God has for you? I know a lot of us will all say we do. But do you feel it in your heart? Do you know it? That nothing will separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. Say it right now. I know and believe the love God has for me. Yeah, sounded pretty good. Could be better. But it sounded good. Think about this. Did God love you in these ways? How about, was he kind to you? Is he kind to you? You know, like the Samaritan, he came over to a man on the side of the road who was beaten up and bruised and left half dead. But Jesus, on his journey, turned aside out of kindness to you. He was moved in compassion to step aside from heaven, from his journey, that is, to come to the right wayside where you were lying and I was lying, beaten up, half dead by sin and by the robber barons of the devil in the world. And he came over because he loved you. He loved me. Believe it. The Bible, let's open up here. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says this. While we were still weak, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know and believe the love God has for you in the Christ? If it's here right now in your heart, take it down here. Or if it's here, take it a level deeper. Believe it. He cares and he has shown kindness to you in Jesus Christ. Did he love you in a sacrificial kind of way? Did he sacrifice? Well, the Samaritan certainly sacrificed his money, his time, his journey to come over and help. Jesus sacrificed heaven. He came down, stepped off of that horse, and came down along the wayside amongst the robbers, the band of robbers of the devil and this world, poured on oil and wine on your wounds, namely his words of grace. And then the Bible says, and I declare, he died. Think about that. He died for you. You want to know if God loves you? Jesus died for you. Are you going to question that kind of love? It's a sacrificial kind of love. He died on the cross. The Bible says, and this, the love of God was made manifest among us. It came out into the open. It appeared for everyone to see that God sent his son into the world so that we might live through him. And in this is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be the expiation for our sins, which means all the sins that will destroy you, he took and died for you that you might live through him. Are you going to question God's love? Anybody willing to stand up and make an objection right now? Say, I know and I believe the love God has for me in Christ. And he loved you in a way that acts. You know, God, every time he even speaks, his word runs through the world and accomplishes what he purposes, prospers in the thing for which he sends it. His word is active, but he didn't just love you from afar saying, I love those little human beings down there on earth. He acted in word and deed. And the Bible says, when you were dead and I was dead through our trespasses and sins, in which we once walked, following the devil, etc., God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, God made you alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then he raised us up with him and made us sit with Christ in the heavenly places. So where are you sitting right now? You're here in Cape Canaveral, but the Bible says you're also seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Are you going to question this kind of love where God saved you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ as a free gift? As the next verse says, oh, indeed, we don't question that at all. I believe and I know that God has loved me and loves me in Christ Jesus. And the more we take that into our hearts, the more you're going to be changed. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've wrestled with this in my life. Have you? You know, I'm sure you're like, yeah, I believe all this, but then do you really believe it? Has it gotten down into your heart? Can the whole world with all its tanks and army and forces come against you, and yet you say defiantly, but this I know, that God is for me, and nothing can separate me from his love for me in Christ Jesus with power. This is what God wants. If you have that in your heart, it's going to transform your life, and the deeper it gets into you, the more power is going to be coming out. God speaks the sun into existence in a day, and the moon and the stars in a day. This is a greater power than that at work in your heart to change your life. Has this transformed you already? This love of God? Well, let's see what the Bible says once again. In Acts 26, Paul talks about his ministry. He says, God sent him to the Gentiles to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Would you be impressed right now if God came and gave you a little Cracker Jack box ring to put on your finger? No, but what does God tell you? He's given you, and believe it, forgiveness of sins. He's opened your eyes to see Jesus. He's turned you from darkness to light. He's turned you from the power of Satan to God. He's given you a place among those who are sanctified through faith in Jesus Christ. Are we going to doubt the love of God that he has for us in Jesus Christ? By no means. I love you, God says. Believe it. My steadfast love is great to the heavens and my faithfulness to the clouds, we read in Scripture. Doubt it not. But has this love transformed you? Think about how the love of God transforms us. John goes on to say, we now love because he first loved us. Do you guys love each other? I know you do. That's when guests come into our sanctuary, they're like, wow. And I think, did they come because of the preaching? No. Hopefully they like that, but it's because of your love for each other. It's an amazing church that we are, praise God. But we love because God first loved us. That's the transformative power of love, is that love at work in your life, in your marriage, in your friendships, even with your enemies. Well, we might say yes, but I sure would like it more, or maybe it's not as good as I want it to be, right? Well, how does God's love transform us? Let me just give you a little insight here through a little story about a kitten or a cat that Beth adopted. And you know Beth, like Jenna here, adopts anything that's helpless or wounded. This was Gracie, our cat, from years ago. In Maine, this kitten was born into the harsh Maine, frozen north of the Maine winter. It was born under a little porch by snowdrifts, abandoned, emaciated, dying, frozen, lived and found that the world was its enemy, was untrusting of anything in the world, crushed in spirit. And do you think Beth can bypass or Jenna could bypass such an animal? How many times have I come home in my life and say, Beth, why is there a bird in our living room? Or Beth, why is there a dog running around our pool in the backyard? Where did that come from? She bleeds in her heart with love for creatures that are in need. Well, she brought in, this is before we were married, she brought in this little kitten into her apartment up in Maine. And I came and visited. And when we first saw this little cat, Gracie, she was hidden under the hutch, in the shadowy corners, didn't trust anybody of the world, wouldn't come out at all. And Beth and I tried to coax her, wouldn't happen, but Beth loved her. Well, the next time I came to visit, the cat was out walking around the outer corners of the room, but wouldn't come any near any person. The next time I came and visited, it was out almost within reach of a touch, and then eventually in a touch. Beth loved her, but just took her time. And next time I come, the cat is sitting on her lap on the couch. And if you think that's the end of it, by the next time I came, this cat was crazy, running around the room in the total freedom of being loved, and was a transformed creature. All because love was expressed to this cat with consistency. Now, I want to ask you a question. How about in your life? You wonder, I could love God more. I'm not feeling his love enough. Well, you might be like Gracie the cat. You might be right now still hiding under the couch, unwilling to trust anyone because, or God, because you've learned that the world abuses you and you're living in shadows and you're a crushed spirit. But when God, like Beth, just loves you, then you come out and you go at night around the corners of the room. Then during the day after a little while. And then to the bowl of milk. And then almost close enough to be touched. And then one day I find and I look you at you, or you look at me, and I'm sitting on God's lap, or you're sitting on his throne with your Father because his love has transformed you. And then at the end of it, you're jumping with exuberant joy because you've been loved consistently over time. And your life, by the power of love, has been transformed. Does God work like that in us? If you're wondering why you don't love God enough right now, or feel his love, do you love him more than you did a year ago? Are you more resting in him than before? Is God warming you up, jumping from the couch to his lap, to his throne, and then around the room with freedom? This is what God does in us. And that's why Jeremiah, when he was very sad one day, said, "My soul continually thinks of it. It's bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Think about that. God's steadfast love never ceases. Does it ever end? Does it ever come to a conclusion? Does God love you one day and not love you the next? Like that little girl? "He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not." No, he loves me is the final answer in Jesus Christ. And you take that into your heart, you can say with David in Psalm 2 or 52, "I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever." Do you know and believe the love that God has for you in Christ Jesus, changing you daily, weekly, monthly, through the years, bringing you closer and closer and closer still into the image of Christ? Listen to the power of love and his love to change you. Paul, at the beginning of his life, said in Acts 26, "I not only shut up the saints in prison by the authority of the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I punished them in the synagogues, tried to make those Christians blaspheme. In raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. But later on, I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." What is that? The power of love, which changed John Newton, who was a slave trader and a captain of a ship taking slaves away from Africa. God's love touched him. By the power of his love, he wrote Amazing Grace, and he worked the rest of his life to set the prisoners, the slaves, free. Luther was in terrible angst and vexation of spirit for years. But then when he came to know the love of God, he says, "It was as if I walked through open gates into paradise." There was a man I knew in Maine years ago. He was a major in the army. He was called Major. He was a grump. He was an old grump, grumpy old man. He was mean to all the nurses. I was assigned to him to go visit him because I said, "Give me your worst that this nursing home has to offer." And I was assigned to Major. Well, we got to be friends over time, and one day I shared Jesus Christ with him. And then I moved to Maine, and a couple weeks later he called me and he says, "Greg, I have amazing news. When I accepted Jesus into my heart, I got to thank you so much. I don't know what's come over me. I'm being nice to the nurses. This has never happened. I actually have joy welling up in my heart." The power of love. You know, the world's like, "What's love got to do with it?" Well, it's got everything to do with it. The power of love. Charlottesville this week, there was a woman who was killed by a driver in a truck. Did you see the interview of her father? He said that, you know, what comes to mind is the words of the Lord who said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." He says, "This guy who killed my daughter didn't know what he was doing, and I forgive him." And both sides need to have a whole lot more forgiveness in this world. That's the power of love. Who speaks like this but someone who's been touched by the transforming power of God? And it can come in time. Beth, as you know, probably was raised in an abusive home. There was violence in her house growing up. Abuse, alcoholism. She had many brutal experiences and bad relationships with guys early in life. When I married her, it wasn't just like happily ever after. Actually, when she came into a steady love relationship in our marriage, she actually closed up like a paddle. And before the frost of the winter, she actually withdrew. She was afraid of that intimacy. But just like Gracie the cat, over time, through consistency, it's just blossomed and opened up. And I was the same way. I didn't feel like anybody could really love me. I didn't feel like I could be loved. But Beth has consistently loved me down through the years, and now I've opened up. And it's a beautiful thing that God does. What would you have if you had the whole world, but you didn't have love? You'd be nothing, Paul says. Love opens hearts, brings to light, warms, and brings light into your soul. And if you want to experience it more, try sharing it more. There's a lady that was ready to divorce her husband. She hated him. And she came to a pastor, and the pastor said, "Well, here's my advice." Well, the woman says, "I don't want to only divorce him. I want to have revenge on this guy." So he says, "Well, here's what you do. Go home and just pretend to love him for a little while. pour out every heart of sincerity and encouragement and care for this guy. And then when he believes that you love him, then turn the screws on him and say, I'm leaving. That'll really get him. And she's like, oh, that's a good idea. So she goes home and she starts showing him every kindness and consideration and care and encouragement and love. For 2 months, and the pastor calls her, oh, you ready to get a divorce now? She says, divorce? Never. I've learned that I now love him, and he has come to love me. Because of the transforming power of love. If you're having trouble today, just act on it. Do it. And I'll tell you this, in your marriages, if you're having any difficulties, major not in the majors, but in the minors. Don't think I'm going to save this through a cruise, although you love your cruises, right? Or a diamond ring or some super date. Just get her toothbrush ready at night. Give her a little back rub. Give her a card when she's not expecting it. These things show that you care a lot of times more than the bigger ones. And a little time, it cannot fail. Believe me, it can't fail for love to return empty. If you do these things, it warms hearts. That's the power of love, and there's no stopping it. And the steadfast love of God for you never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And that's where it's all going to start, friends. It's got to start in you believing that God loves you. Because we love, the Bible says, because God first loved us. If you want to love and have love in your life, you got to believe it today. And say, I know and believe the love God has for me in Christ. I know and believe that it was before the foundation of the world that he chose me in Christ to be his sons. He destined me for adoption, that I may be saved. And God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus said to the sinners, he loved you. He says, I have forgiven you your sins. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. He says, even now I'm with you always to the close of the age, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And even into forever, he's raised us up with him, made us sit with Christ in the heavenly places, so that in the coming ages, God can pour out upon you the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward you in Christ Jesus, like the waterfall of Niagara Falls. And the Apostle John says, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world, and therefore we know and we believe in the love that God has for us. Do you believe in this? The end result of it is that when love is perfected with us, we'll have such confidence for the day of judgment, because perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. Those who fear us are not yet perfected in love, but you will even just know the joy of God. So like Gracie the cat, come out from under the couch, under the hutch, to the bull. One day I'll see you sitting on the throne with the Lord, as probably you already are, with joy. And then running around in the joy of the kingdom, bounding here and there because of the love of your new master. So I conclude then with this word from 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and following. In this, the love of God was made apparent and came into visible view among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live with him. And beloved, if God so loved us, let's also love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.